Thanks for watching today at wildwoodchurch.com. Now here's today's message.
Good morning, Wildwood. Well, we have an interesting dilemma this morning. Standing room only. It's incredible. So as the kids make their way out, we might have some families be making their way in. They were worshiping in the lobby. So you might shift over a little bit if you've got some space and let folks get settled in. While they do that, turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 this morning. You know, God designed a beautiful order for the home and for the church. And it is this, that men lead. This is what God has set up, not only for the church, but also for the home. And not for the sake of control, but for the sake of flourishing. When male headship is abandoned or rejected, oftentimes men withdraw and everyone pays the price. If you look at denominations that embraced what is called a new hermeneutic, you can look this up, radical feminism in the 1960s and 70s led to certain denominations looking for a way to stay culturally relevant with the radical feminist revolution. And many of those churches that embraced that new hermeneutic, a new way of interpreting Scripture, have closed their doors for good. Look at the home. 5 to 6 decades ago, divorce was half the rate that it is today. Women reported feeling happier 50 years ago than they do today, after 50 years of radical feminism. 18 million American kids are being raised in homes without a father. That's 25% of our kids. Women and children are suffering right now, and it's no better for men. We have a suicide epidemic driven mostly by men who are four times as likely to die by suicide as women. We have tried abandoning God's order, and it's failed us. No one wins when men are marginalized or take a back seat. But where men are encouraged to lead like Christ, humbly, gently, as servants, we all thrive. Which is why at Wildwood Church, we joyfully affirm God's beautiful design. And as a result, we are seeing God's blessing. I don't think I have to say any more than you just watch what just happened at the transition. And you watch what is happening on stage. I commented on a TikTok video this week. I made a TikTok video, and I said that churches that de-glorify, whatever the word is, disglorify, when church denominations, when they buy into the radical feminist lie that there's anything less than glory in motherhood, they rarely need expecting moms and new mom parking spaces. At Wildwood Church, we celebrate with joy God's created order, and we see glory in it. And we are seeing God's blessing. Our nursery is overflowing. Our kids' ministry, our youth, this is a portion of our youth ministry this morning. We are seeing God's blessing. We see the family transformation taking place in people's homes. We see God's blessing. We believe that what Scripture teaches is true. That when men lead their homes and the church like Christ, everyone flourishes. Not because men are superior, but because this is how God created it. In Psalm 128, says, "The man who fears the Lord is blessed." But it's more than, and the blessing that is described is not necessarily so much the man's, but it is his wife and his children that are blessed. And that is the blessing for the father. Amen? Amen. To watch your wife and your children flourish. Psalm 128 says that it's the man who fears the Lord, his wife and children are blessed. And so I want to say at the outset that when we talk about male headship, it is because we are concerned of the thriving of the entire family and the entire church body. This is what the Bible teaches, and this is what we believe. Let's restore this vision of Christ's headship in the home. Amen? Let's stand and read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. And then we're going to pray for the Yadav in Nepal. It's an unreached people group who need to know the gospel, who need to know Jesus. And so we're going to pray for the Yadav in Nepal. We're going to ask the Lord to send out workers, missionaries, who will love them and pour out their lives to reach them. Let's read here Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the beauty of what we have just witnessed. Baptisms, new members, young, old, single, married, families. Thank you, Jesus, for drawing people to yourself. Thank you for blessing our church. And Lord, it's not an enigma. Lord, we believe what your Bible teaches. We teach it, we preach it, we try to live it by your grace, and you're blessing us. And so, Lord, I pray that this would happen more and more and more. And people would see this and say, okay, we're going to try that. We're going to lay our lives down. We're going to serve our wives. We're going to respect our husbands. And Lord, I pray that you would bless homes and bless families, bless marriages, thriving marriages and thriving children for your glory. Father, forgive us for being so stubborn and hard-headed sometimes. Lord, help us to honor you. Help us to approach the throne of grace in our time of need and to find mercy. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you bless the preaching of your word, and I pray for the Yadav people in Nepal. Lord, I believe that you're going to be worshiped by them, by at least some among them. And I pray, Lord, that you would send out missionaries, workers into the harvest, for the harvest is ripe. And Lord, would you do it for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I realize I started preaching while I was praying. So don't be surprised if I start preaching this morning. Now, as we saw last week, as we looked at Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, Satan did not merely tempt Eve with fruit. What he did was he attacked God's created order. He twisted God's word. Did God really say? And then he inserted doubt. He says, no, you will not surely die. He inserted doubt and he drew Eve to reject Adam's headship. We need to see that what happened is Eve rejected God's word, doubted God's word, rejected Adam's headship. And that's where it all went wrong. While Adam sat back passively. This is what happened. It wasn't just taking the bite of a piece of fruit. Eve doubted God's word, usurped Adam's authority, and Adam let it happen. That's what happened. Satan wasn't just trying to deceive. He was trying to destroy the family. Because with it, he would hinder the expanse of God's glory around the earth. Dr. Tony Evans, in his book Kingdom Marriage, says, when headship is broken, authority is lost. He writes, without spiritual authority, it is difficult to accomplish anything worthwhile, let alone experience a thriving marriage. The problems we are facing in our homes and marriages come from giving the garden over to the devil. Now, what is the spiritual authority that Dr. Evans is describing there? Well, we see it here in Ephesians chapter 5, but more explicitly in 1 Corinthians 11:3, where Paul says, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. This is the created order. This is what we call biblical headship. Now let's start where Paul started in Ephesians 5, verse 22. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, last week, women, I preached pretty hard to your husbands, preached pretty hard to your men. And here's a moment for you. Do you believe that what I just read is God's word? I want some feedback, just like I wanted feedback last week. I asked the men, is there anything more important to you than your faith? And I wanted them to say yes. I wanted you to hear it. Now I want you to hear your husbands say, and I'm not going to trap you. There's a whole passage here, and it's all God's word. But I want to start where Paul starts. Do we believe this is God's written, inspired, inerrant word?
Yes.
Amen. Listen, your submission to your husband is an act of obedience to Jesus. Let me say it again, because it just got real thick in here. Your submission to your husband is an act of obedience to Jesus. It's how you work out your sanctification. It is not weakness. It is beautiful. It is full of glory. Now, you say, how is it full of glory? I'll show you how it's full of glory. Verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. How does the church submit to Christ? By being weak? By being timid? By suppressing its gifts? No, the church submits to Christ by using its God-given gifts to complete the mission of Christ. Now, let me ask you something. This is a true test of your theology. Who finds shame in the church submitting to Christ? Is that shameful? What is it? It's obedience, but it's glorious. When you see a church submitting to Christ, it is beautiful and full of glory. And you see thriving. And here's a little free chicken. That means it's not in my notes. It's not testable at the end of the year. If you're just joining us, we have an end-of-year exam of all the things I've talked about. But this is free chicken. And I lost it. Trying to be funny. Oh. I got to get it back because it's good. Well, I've lost it. It's just gone. I ate the free chicken. Yes. It is, what? Amen. Amen. It is glorious to watch. Ah, yes, here's the free chicken in the 1970s. Thank you, brother. In the 1970s, you saw these churches, and I won't mention them because you have come from some of them, and maybe you attend some of them, and you've just come to see your kids, your grandkids. But these churches in the 1970s that embraced radical feminism, a new hermeneutic, they called it evangelical feminism. And when these people drunk that Kool-Aid and said, yeah, there's no distinction between men and women, and women are the same, and let's do this, they are abandoning, let me say this carefully, the word is kephale. I didn't mean to go into all of this, but the Greek word head is kephale. And when they say it doesn't mean authority, it means source, then watch this. When they say that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and they redefine kephale from authority to source. One, I wonder, is that even respectful of you women that somehow I'm the source of my wife? But secondly, when kephale, head, means source but not authority, husband to wife, then it must also mean that Jesus is also source but not authority in the church. And you follow this thread for the last 50 years, and that's exactly what you see. A complete abandonment from the Word of God, an embracing of all the things that the Bible says are wrong. Kephale. Let's just interpret one word differently. Man, this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say, does kephale really mean authority? And when they parted ways with that, to be culturally relevant, you look at these churches and they're flying rainbow flags out front. Folks, they have abandoned their kephale, their head, their authority. That was all free chicken. Now, if I can find my place back in my notes. Who would shame the church for submitting to Christ? Who would say, wow, church, Wildwood, you're too obedient to Jesus. You want to serve Jesus too much. You're too submissive to Jesus. Who would say that? And the Bible says that as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to and everything to their husbands. So why do we find it shameful? Why do we find it disrespectful that wives would submit to their husbands? Why? Why does it feel that way? I'll tell you why. 50 years of feminism. That's why. That's why it's embarrassing to talk about this. 50 years, my whole life. Many of you, your whole life. Thankfully, the younger generations are rejecting it. Praise the Lord. Because it's trash. Far from shameful, wives, submitting to your husbands is full of glory. Verse 32 tells us that your submitting to Christ, that your role in marriage is a living picture of the church of Jesus Christ. Is that not beautiful? Is that not full of glory? That you and your husband get to live out in full living color the gospel of Jesus Christ. God chose that in Genesis chapter 1. And Paul quotes it here. He quotes Genesis chapter 2. And the husband shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And Paul says that's Christ and the church. That was a picture of Christ and the church. What's happening in your home is supposed to be a living picture of Jesus Christ and his church. Folks, that is full of glory. It is full of beauty when it is done well. You know, the curse that God placed on Eve was not just pain in childbirth. Don't you wish that you could go back and undo that? It's hard on a dad to watch his wife suffer that way. And I had to do it 5 times. Man, I wish I could go back there and undo that. No, I truly do. But here's the thing. We often joke about, yeah, the pain of childbirth, but that was only one part of the curse. What was the other part of the curse? A contrarian spirit. A contrarian spirit. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, sometimes desire can be good. Do you think that that's what the curse was? You're going to want your husband. I don't think so, because that ain't a curse. Not for Adam. We flip over to Genesis 4, and God tells Cain, who killed Abel, that sin, or that it was about to, he was about to kill Abel. He says, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, and you must rule over it. Part of your curse is pain in childbirth and a contrarian spirit. Thank you, Eve. Men got a lot of problems, but so do you. And you need to acknowledge that your resistance to your husband is part of the sin nature handed down to you from Eve. We just happen to live in a culture that glamorizes it. I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry that we live in that culture that says it's good for you to be contrarian. We call it empowering, liberating. Why are women less happy after 50 years? Do you think about that? Women are liberated. There's nothing that women can't do today that men can do. There are no laws. It is sheerly your desire. Less happy because it's trash. Now, granted, this is difficult, as all sanctification is. We don't have to deny that. It is hard to be sanctified. Women, it's hard to be sanctified. Men, it's hard to be sanctified. Amen? It's hard. What makes it particularly difficult is that a wife's head is a very flawed and visible man who lives in her home. So women, we're done with you. Now it's on to the men. Because there are some things, husbands, that we can do to make this easier for our wives. And that's where I want to spend the rest of the time. I don't want any man to think I'm beating up on him. I don't want any woman to think I'm beating up on him. It's an equal opportunity environment here. There are things that we can do, men, that create a culture in our home where our wives feel safe submitting to us. And that is our job. That is our job. It's our responsibility. How do we do that? By demonstrating our own submission to Christ. You see, they see in us, they see a visible and flawed head. And they're being told, submit to your head. We don't see our head. And our head is perfect. We can make this easier for our wives by demonstrating that we are also men under authority. And our head is Christ. If a husband is not visibly submitting to Christ, his leadership is hypocrisy at best and possibly spiritually abusive. Let me say it again. If a man is not visibly submitting to Christ, his leadership is hypocrisy at best and possibly spiritually abusive. This is why biblical headship is rooted in the husband's own submission to Christ. Too few churches look Christian men in the eyes and say, you must submit to Christ. So in verse 25, when Paul writes, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that is nothing more than basic Christian discipleship. This is 101. If you are a Christian man and you're married, the very first way that you follow Jesus is by laying down your life for your wife. That's what it means to take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. No one can say, I'm taking up my cross, but I'm not going to die to myself for my wife. Not going to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Men, don't you see that your call is to imitate Christ? If the call to the wife is to imitate the church, then you must understand that your call is to imitate Christ. And this is basic discipleship. This is every man that is in Christ. This is the call. This is how you work out your sanctification. You lay down your life like Christ did. Men, let me ask you this question. When do your wife and your children see you submitting to Christ? When do your women and children observe that you are a man under authority? That you're not the king of your house. You're not the master of your domain, but you are a man submitting to Jesus. When do they see that? If you're counting on your attendance at church 2 to 3 times a month, it's not going to be very convincing. Family worship is a simple yet powerful way for your family to feel your submission to Christ. Here's the point. Family worship is a daily opportunity for your family to observe that you are a man submitted to authority. Here they watch you seeking God in prayer. Why is it that it is so, the most uncomfortable thing for a man to do is pray with his wife? Long after men come to me and say, I've acknowledged my addiction to pornography, long after that, then they come to me and say, I still haven't prayed with my wife. Why is it so awkward and uncomfortable? It's like the last frontier for men in the home is to pray with their family. Because it demonstrates that man is a man under authority. That man is demonstrating, I submit to my head. Family worship affords you the opportunity to read God's word and to give a sense of what it means. So what does that do in your wife's heart? in your children's heart. You don't have to have all the answers, and you certainly don't have to dominate the time. But when you are reading Scripture and giving a sense from the overflow of your heart, you are speaking life over your family. You are washing them with the Word. Here, they hear you singing His praises. Next week, I'm gonna articulate that worship is warfare. And when you are worshiping in your home, singing out loud, and by the way, I'm still looking for a single person to join me on the stage. I have a widow, I have a young mom who is a widow as well. I have an older couple, kids are grown. I have a younger couple and a median age couple. I'm looking for one person in this congregation who is single, who worships God in their home on a regular basis, to join me on the panel next week. So if that's you, please let me know. But as you are worshiping in your home, you are proclaiming that Christ is King of that domain. And there's a very real spiritual realm. And I believe it is warfare. So when a husband is praying and reading and singing and leading his wife and children, real spiritual transformation is taking place. And your wife and your children are observing that you men are men under authority. This fosters a culture in your home that helps them to feel safe submitting to their head, knowing that you are submitting to yours. Family worship is also the very vehicle by which we obey the rest of the commands of Paul. In verses 25 through 26, Paul says, Christ gave himself up for the church that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. In verses 28 and 29, says a husband should love his wife as his own body, nourishing and cherishing her as Christ does the church. Husbands, do you see that it's your calling to imitate Christ? He sanctifies the church through the washing of the word, the preaching, praying, example of the elders. You can't sanctify your wife. You can't go home and say, I'm going to sanctify you. But God can use you to help your wife grow in grace the very same way that God uses me and the elders to help you grow in grace. As you lead your wife in your prayers, in your reading of the word, and singing. Practically speaking, how else does a husband do what Jesus did, washing your wife with the water of the word? How else do you do that? Outside of family worship, outside of a dedicated time, and you can call it what you want, family devotions, morning devotions, we call it family worship, but whatever, but how else do you wash your wife in the water of the word like Christ does the church, apart from a regular, consistent reading of the word? Men, we are shooting ourselves in the foot. My wife is obstinate. My wife doesn't respect me. My wife doesn't submit. My wife rejects. She pushes back. She's resistant. Okay, your wife is sinful. She needs to submit that to Christ. But have you created an environment, a culture, in which she feels safe to do that? Knowing that you're not an authoritarian, but that you're a man submitting to Christ. And how do we do that? I'm saying family worship is how we do that. And this is how we wash our wives with the water of the word. How else does a father obey? Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How do you do that, men? I'll tell you how so many men think they do that. they checked their kids into Wildwood Kids Ministry. And I'm telling you, that is not it. That is not it. Listen, your wife can and should and probably is reading the Bible herself. And she can probably teach the Bible to your kids maybe better than you can. But here's a very important point that I want you to understand. It is not about capability. It is about responsibility. God has given you men the responsibility to shepherd your homes. This is Christ's headship in the church, in the home. Not dominance, but service. Not pride, but humility. Your family sees Christ's headship not so much when you go home from church, but when you come home from church transformed by the Word. And when you emerge out of your own time with the Lord. Because, again, if this is not treasuring it in your heart, and it's not the overflow of your heart, and you're spending time with Jesus, and then it's coming out in family worship, then it's hypocrisy. And you shoot yourself in the foot. I almost want to say it would be better not to do it at all, but man, that would be like Adam living in your home. If it's not an overflow, imagine if my preaching, if my sermon prep was my walk with Jesus. I only went to the Word in order to feed you. Ministry is an overflow. Man, if it's not overflowing, then they're going to feel it. So they watch you come out of your study, out of your closet, out of your bedroom, wherever you spent time with Jesus. You have submitted to your head. And now you're saying, let me lead my family. This is biblical headship in the home. Is that not glorious, men? Women, is that not glorious? Men, is that not glorious? Does that not make you want to lead with courage? This beautiful picture, and I'm saying it's attainable to you. You can go spend time with Jesus and then ask your family to sit down and you can overflow. And watch your wife and children thrive. And look, it's not going to happen on day one. But anything worthwhile is worth working at. Imagine if someone goes home and says, well, I did it last week and my wife didn't change. It's like a man that's addicted to sugar. I would know some of that. I would know something about that. But it's like a man that's addicted to sugar, and he quits for a day and says, wow, I didn't drop 30 pounds. Like, yeah, you've got some work to do. Like I said last week, go to your wife. Can you help me with this? I don't know how to do this, but I want this. I want this glorious picture in our home. I want Psalm 128 to be true in our home, that our wife will be a fruitful vine and our children will grow up around the table and they'll thrive. Men, lead. Submit to Jesus. Change the culture in your home. You know, men, we tend to pride ourselves in our willingness and maybe over-inflating our ability to protect our families physically. You know, it's a bravado. Yeah, I'll protect my family. Someone breaks in, I'll be the gatekeeper. I'll be the man. And many of us have weapons in the home because that's our place to protect our home. It's my domain. It's my wife, my kids, my responsibility to protect. And so many men are gazing out the window with their toy helmet on and their foam sword ready to slay an imaginary dragon, while right behind them, the serpent is whispering lies to their wife and kids. And they never pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Man, you want a battle to fight. You want a battle to fight. It's built into you. And I'm telling you, there is a battle in your home. There's a real enemy, a real battle, and you are called to be a real defender. But it's spiritual. And it's not going to be full of glory. Once again, like I said last week, we crave those moments where, you know, man dies for wife. Man protects wife and children from intruders. We would love those moments. But what about every single morning waking up, getting with Jesus, going upstairs, being used by him to defeat the enemy's lies in your wife and in your children? What about that? Is that glorious? It's glorious. Well, let me close with a little confession. Years ago, I preached this sermon or this concept in our family worship series 5 years ago. And Kelly came to me after the headship sermon, and she said, "Brian, this is where you failed me. This is where you let me down. In one of our most difficult seasons of life, Kelly was fighting alone. And I can pinpoint a decisive moment in my life that caused me to drop the ball. We were doing a Wednesday night marriage study called Kingdom Marriage, and I didn't read the material. I coasted. I thought, I've got this. I'm the lead pastor of this church. I don't need to read this Kingdom Marriage material. I was lazy, passive, and distracted when it came to the most important battle in my life. I was so distracted by church ministry that I failed to recognize what was happening in my own home. And it nearly crushed my wife. She was drowning in confusion and anxiety and fear. I believe that had I stepped up to invest in my marriage by taking seriously what other men were teaching from the Word, that I would have risen to the occasion. I praise the Lord for His intervention, because I failed my wife and it nearly crushed her. And I don't want you to do the same. I blew off what God was trying to say to me, thinking, I got this. This is not a problem for us. I'm a leader. I don't need to pay attention. I don't need to invest. I don't need to be challenged. I hardened my heart the way maybe some of you are tempted to do right now. And it nearly broke my wife. And I share that not only with her permission, but with her desire. Because my wife does not want any of you to suffer like that. Man, this is a decisive moment for you. The Lord wanted us to do this series at this time, and you're here this morning, and you've been here the last couple of days, a couple of weeks. This is a decisive moment for you. I don't want you to drop the ball like I did. I don't want you to be passive in the most important battlefield that you've been given, your home. If Satan shattered the first garden by attacking the family, then we have to rebuild it by planting the Word of God in our homes on a daily basis. Let's be men who don't just attend church, but we bring church home. Let's pick up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Let's do real battle in our homes so that it would be said of us that we were men who led and loved like Christ. Amen? Hey, thanks so much for watching online. I hope that this message has inspired you to greater faith, has encouraged you, maybe convicted or challenged you. We're grateful to be able to provide this content to you online, live and on demand. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube so that we can get this content right to you as soon as we upload it. But you know, we believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you need the body of Christ. You need the local church. And so if you're in the Quad Cities, let me invite you to personally join us in person for our gatherings on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 10:40. If you're not in the Quad Cities, I want to encourage you to go find a local church that teaches the Bible, that serves the community, that loves Jesus, that gives grace. Well, hey, thanks again for watching, and we hope that you were blessed.